Hi, you're listening to the CDC podcast. In this edition, we're looking at the issue of access to energy and specifically whether the use of off-grid solar systems can continue to grow to help meet the needs of the 1.2 billion people across the world living without power. The use of off-grid solar systems in homes has grown massively over the last few years. Let's start with CDC's Jeff Manley, who leads the off-grid solar team here. Jeff will explain exactly what a home solar kit usually consists of.
So these systems started off as simply offering lighting, then they started adding things like mobile phone charging. The latest innovation has been the television, which has become extremely popular and is generating a lot of sales.
Bloomberg predicts that by 2020, these products will be used by around 500 million people, mostly in developing countries. This growth has in no small part been powered by the affordability and ease of use of the products. Most of the systems allow customers to use mobile money to pay as they go. Now, for the rest of this podcast, we'll take a closer look at the industry and some of the main businesses involved and ask how the sector can sustain its growth over the coming years. This is a household in Kenya, which has just had a solar-powered TV installed by M-Kopa, a business CDC has been invested in for the last year. George is the owner of the house.
We had a lot of problems with the power people. Every now and then, the power is off. At the same time, you have a visitor in the house and the house is dark. But since we started using solar, if the power is not there, we put on the solar, like that light, and we are all right. We enjoy. And now the TV is also there. People can manage also see the TV at the same time light.
My name is Jesse Moore, and I'm the CEO of M-Kopa Solar. Speaking to you today from Nairobi, Kenya, where I live and where we're headquartered.
And Jesse starts by explaining how M-Kopa became one of the leading off-grid solar companies.
M-Kopa really grew from the very same idea sort of 7 or 8 years ago that we're now executing against, which is that renewable energy, particularly solar, was a really cost-effective solution for off-grid populations if you could finance it in the way that poor people could afford. And so we've been busy doing that for over 7 years now and reached nearly 600,000 homes in East Africa with what is often dubbed as pay-as-you-go solar, where our customers can buy solar power over time, almost like a mortgage. And the way that they pay for that is through the ubiquity of mobile money systems like M-Pesa, topping up every day 50 cents or a dollar. We have done a very good job of keeping our customers and upgrade to reflect the various ways that customers can get more from M-Kopa through their financial relationship. And so basically the customers who prove over a few months the ability to pay regularly for their solar systems become eligible to get more, and that can be in the form of more power, so they can upgrade to things like solar-powered televisions, which is very popular and which we've done now over 100,000 sales of in the last year and a half. But people can also borrow money, and they can borrow for other life-changing appliances like clean cooking stoves, which actually aren't powered by solar, but which we provide to them on a sort of asset-backed basis. But the asset that we're using as collateral is the solar system.
Is there a limit to this growth in the off-grid solar market? And where do you see it going?
I think there's a lot of opportunity for not only M-Kopa, but the competitive set to move in different directions, because there's just a huge market. So that might be, moving away from households, which is where we've started and really stayed, but focusing more on SMEs or institutional needs, rather than just the consumers. So the growth in the end of the day, the opportunity for growth is just really massive. We know that Africa's off-grid population is growing, not shrinking, and that's because while the grid may grow well in some areas, there's other areas where population growth is really going to exceed the extent of the grid. I think there's also growing appetite among policymakers and governments to believe that actually we shouldn't try to electrify places that are difficult to reach, and we should leapfrog and enable companies and solutions like M-Kopa's to go serve populations where it's far cheaper and faster and better to connect them with solar systems.
Jesse gave us a great snapshot there of what M-Copa sees as the potential for the industry over the coming years. But what about the other companies in the sector? Well, to get a broader view, I spoke to the Global Off-Grid Lighting Association. This is the industry body which represents more than 100 companies.
My name is Laura Sundblad. I work at the Global Off-Grid Lighting Association, which is GOGLA for short.
And from your members, do you get a sense of where you see the market going?
One of the major great things that has happened in this sector has been the emergence of really high efficiency appliances, which means that products that couldn't before been powered by solar now can. So for example, one of our member companies, Mobisol, has even a welding, you can weld now using solar power, which wouldn't have been possible earlier. TVs have become more efficient, fans have become more efficient, refrigeration has become more efficient. So that obviously has opportunities for households, but it does also have a lot of opportunities for small businesses and for productive use. And we have quite a few companies who are looking in this direction. Lumos, for example, which operates in Nigeria, they are a solar home system company, but they say that actually the term solar home system is becoming a little bit unclear or misleading because about a quarter of their customers are actually businesses. We have another company, member company, Simu Solar. They work in Tanzania, and they've been actively developing solutions for the agricultural value chain. So, for example, they looked at ways on how you can use solar for incubating and hatching chicks who like to have light and who like to have warmth.
Are there any barriers that stand in the way for this opportunity to really be taken?
Within our members, we have a pretty diverse set of companies. And of course, the hurdles that they face will vary a little bit depending on where they are as a company. You know, how long have they been in operation and which country do they work in? But there are some things that are consistent that we see across our membership. One of those is uncertain policy framework. So if there isn't a consistency and clarity on how regulation is applied, what kind of taxes are charged, what kind of import tariffs are charged, that's a barrier, because if you don't know what's coming, it's very difficult to plan your pricing and to plan your inventory in the right way. The other major hurdle is limited access to affordable financing, and particularly financing that is in local currency. And this is something where we do work with quite a lot of partners to look for ways in which we can bring in more local currency financing. The reason that local currency is so important is that a lot of the companies are extending consumer credit in local currency and their invoices are in hard currency. So it makes for quite a big risk with some of the currencies being rather volatile in the markets that we operate in. So bringing down the cost of finance is crucial.
When we started looking at this, what we saw is that as these companies grow, they're going to have a huge working capital need. And what we saw is that the bits of debt that were coming into these companies was almost exclusively in hard currency, whereas the working capital needs are in local currency.
That's CDC's Jeff Manley again, who's leading a new off-grid solar-focused investment team here. He says what he's learned about the sector chimes exactly with what Laura sees as one of the main barriers.
So we really wanted to focus all of our energy on unlocking local currency debt for these companies so that they can match the receivables against the loans. Otherwise, it creates a currency mismatch, and that just creates an additional risk for these young companies to bear. So that's really the driving force of our strategy, is unlocking local currency, and we're looking at doing that directly ourselves. We're looking at working with local banks to unlock that through various different risk sharing or guarantee structures, and then we're also looking at supporting some specialist debt funds that are in the market that can also deliver that local currency debt.
Where do you see the peak of the sector? Are we just sort of scratching the surface and there'll be a lot more growth?
Yeah, I think we're definitely scratching the surface. 600 million people in Africa without access to power. And there are a number of studies that suggest that solar home systems are really going to be the most efficient and fastest way to bring basic power to these households. the grid is just not going to get there. And even longer term, it may not make sense to extend the grid because of the cost associated with that into some of these rural communities. So I think it's really going to be around innovating and improving solar home systems, both the product itself and also the delivery and business models, mini grids as well. I think that we're just going to see in Africa longer term a lot of people that are not connected to the grid but can enjoy a grid-like experience from a power perspective. There are under a million systems that have been deployed in Africa to date, so there's clearly a tremendous opportunity for growth ahead.
As you say, there are a lot of opportunities, but how do the industry sort of realize these opportunities over the coming years?
The industry is still really in its infancy, and the vast majority of these companies are still not profitable. So there are a number of challenges that they're going to have to overcome to really make this into a long-term viable sector. They're going to have to be profitable. That means focusing on unit economics, on controlling overheads. There's still a lot of innovation and tinkering with business models, so that has to be proven out. And then these companies also need to develop a track record around the quality of the portfolios that they're lending to these low-income customers. So all of those things need to come together in order for these companies to be long-term sustainable.
And that's about it for this podcast. I hope it's given you a good overview of the kind of opportunities and challenges facing the off-grid solar industry over the coming years. Thanks for listening to this podcast. We'll be back again with another soon.